Okay, let's come to protocol levels. We had already begun the Perek Hey. I just want to come back to one line in Perek Daled here of Shah Hadchina, just to call your attention to and comment on briefly. Again, in the seven areas in Perek Daled where Rabbeinu Bachya says that we see traces of the Chochmas Hashem, so he says that HaYesod Hasheni, I think in the Ibn Tibon translation it's Pina Hashenis. It's the towards the beginning of the parak. HaYesod Hasheni Ikvos HaChochma HaGluya V'min HaAdam. The traces of Chochmas Hashem, which are evident B'min HaAdam, in the species of man, Shehu HaOlam HaKotan. He's a microcosm. So if you look, both, if you look in the notes in the Kapach notes, if you look in the notes in the Lev Tov edition, so they'll tell you that this notion that a person is a Olam Katan, a microcosm, and that the way man was created parallels the way the macrocosm, the way the world was created. So you find the Rambam has it, and you find the Ibn Ezra, you find amongst the Rishonim, it's a common theme. And that they say, for instance, that one of the parallels they give is that the veins in a person, the way the blood flows through the veins, is the way you find in the world, the water flowing in rivers and in oceans. And they have a whole series of parallels that the person was created in a way that parallels the creation of the world, of the universe. What's the significance of that? What's the significance of that parallel? So then Bachya seems to imply that there are two points of interest here. Number one, by implication, it means that all the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which can be gleaned through studying the macrocosm, the universe, that same Chochmah will be evident in the microcosm of a person. That since, again, it's the same blueprint for creation, for the Olam HaGadol, for the universe, and for a person who's an Olam HaKatan, so therefore by extension, the Chochmah will be evident, all the Chochmah will also be evident within Briyas HaAdam. Number two, Rabbeinu Bachya here also seems to be implying, he continues, after he says, B'min HaAdam Shehu HaOlam HaKatan, so Rabbeinu Bachya continues, Asher Bo Gomar Seder HaOlam HaZeh, V'yofyo v'noyo u'shleimuso k'mo shebi'er achosid olav ha'shalom b'mizmor Hashem Adonainu. That with the creation of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed, consummated, and perfected creation. So what's the link between the two halves of the sentence? That an Adam is an Olam HaKatan, and that through his creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu perfected the world. So it's clear what Rabbeinu Bachya means, he says this again later, in Perek Hey as well, that the entire creation was for the purpose of man. That was symbolically represented by concentrating, as it were, within man, the entire Bria. By creating man as an Olam Katan, again with the same model of the entire Bria, so what that represented and represents symbolically is that the entire Vriya was for the purpose of man. The entire Vriya was for the purpose of man. The Ochos Tzadikim, logically it follows. He doesn't refer to Avenu Bachya, but he goes a step further also when discussing this analogy, this characterization of Adam as an Olam Katan, as a microcosm. So he says that the Sod Hadavo, this is the very end of Ochos Tzadikim, is the same way a person can exercise self-control, the same way a person rules over himself. He does what he wants. He's able to channel his energies in whichever direction he desires. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, the same way you rule over your Olam Katan, the way you rule over your Olam Katan, so too a person living according to Torah, who perfects himself according to Torah, can exercise control over the whole world. And he quotes from Tanakh, from Chazal, Misha'am al Hashemin Sheyadlik, Yom al Hachomet Sheyadlik, whoever decreed that oil should burn will decree that vinegar should burn. The Elisha with the Shunamis, with the Shemin. But that message is contained also within the symbolism of a person ruling over the Olam himself. He can also rule over the Olam Hagadol, the macrocosm. It's very important. All of this, what it tells us is very important. The Torah has a very optimistic, potentially optimistic view of man. There is lots of discussion, both in Jewish and Havdil Gentile sources. Well, the man is basically good, he's basically evil, he's... The Torah certainly sees every one of us, below Yotzim and Aklal, without exception, as having virtually unlimited potential and of having capacity for greatness. And that's the message of being an Olam Katan. But every person rules over himself has a capacity for greatness. Of course, the greatness is achieved through submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through submission to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But with that submission, every person, whatever his or her abilities, temperament, background, inclinations, everyone has potential for greatness. So the Rav wrote in Isha Halacha, I think in the letter posted in the Beis Medrash from Rav Shechter, this part is referred to, that at the beginnings of the Muslim movement there were certain strands of the movement which had very extreme and pessimistic views and saw man as being very sinful and felt that extreme measures were taken to control and break those tendencies. And the Rav writes that that never was really accepted, that form of Musa, the form of reminding a person, the form of Musa of preventing Hesach Hadas, of Dalif Nemiyata Omed, of Shivis Hashem and Negdi Samed. So that never was controversial. That was never controversial, it was never challenged. The extreme form of Musa, which had such a pessimistic approach and perspective, so that was controversial and by and large was not accepted. So if the Torah has this fundamentally optimistic view of our potential and of our capacity for greatness, so we have to have it also. We have to have it also. And we can't be content with mediocrity. We always have to strive to achieve that greatness. Let's continue in Parakei. In the first paragraph here in Parakei, so Rabbeinu Bachya says that of the seven areas in which Chochmas Hashem is evident, so of the seven, the one which is closest to us, most immediate, and easiest for us to analyze is the Chochmah, which is evident in man. He says, "Lefichach, therefore, chayovim anu lezbonin bereshis ha'odom v'gidulo, the creation and growth of man, v'chibur chalokov, v'hakov ha'sevorov, his physical constitution." V'achakach, he says, "Nisbonin." After having studied the divine wisdom in the anatomy of man, nisbonin b'to'al yosav b'chol mida mimidosav v'kochos nafsho v'or sichlo, we should also reflect upon the purposefulness of every mida he has, of every character trait he has, intellectual, emotional, psychological. Rabbeinu Bachya goes on, and if you read through the parak, you'll see that he explains that every human character trait has its purpose. Even those which seem negative also have their purpose. He discusses, for instance, the fact that we have zikaron, we have memory, but there's also shechecha, there's also forgetfulness. He explains, without shechecha, if a person couldn't forget bad experiences, traumatic experiences, so a person wouldn't be able to function. A person would always be in the grips of depression. If a person could never free himself from painful memories, a person would be constantly depressed, because no one goes through life without painful, embarrassing, or humiliating, or trying experiences. So shechecha is also necessary. To remember, of course, is necessary. Otherwise, you can't function, you can't accumulate Torah knowledge. And he goes on, kahena v'kahena. If you extend what he's saying a little further, again, that every midah, every human character trait, is yesh lo makom v'yesh lo zman, has its place and its time. So that's not only true generically. It's also true specifically. In other words, it's not just true in those character traits which we all share. Everyone has a zikaron, and everyone has a shechecha, everyone has lapses in memory. But it's also true, the same rationale that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create anything in vain, which dictates that every generic character trait has its purpose. So that same rationale also dictates that every specific character trait we have has its purpose as well. The same way in the Priyas Minhwa Noshi, in creating the species, of man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he implanted within us a teva for remembering, a teva for forgetting, so it means that each of these opposites has its place and its purpose. So the same true within every individual's psychological and emotional makeup. Also, everything has its place. Everything has its place. Every koach a person has can be and should be utilized in his avodas Hashem. And it's very important for everyone to find within Torah his own mold whereby his midos, that the purpose to which for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him his specific midos, his specific kochos ha-nefesh, where they will be most productive, a person has to find that niche. At the end of this paragraph, Ben Abachi says that if we look inward, Oz Yakir Sabore Yisroman Vyasada, we will recognize and become acquainted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ayidei Ikvas HaChochmah Shebo, through the traces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochmah, which are evident within us, Kemosha Ama Iyo Mipsori Echse Aloka. Literally, from my flesh, I perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this Mipsori Echze Aloka, already within Rabbeinu Bachya, and certainly in other sources. So number one, Mipsori Echze Aloka means on one level, it's most literal. Rabbeinu Bachya says it's just the Guf HaAdam, the human anatomy is such a wondrous and miraculous creation that we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps more importantly for us, experientially, is that Mipsari Echse Aloka also means that if you look at a person's psychological constitution and his emotional makeup, you also perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For instance, the Ochos Tzadikim, in that same last chapter, in Ochos Tzadikim, comments as follows. We all know that it's a virtually universal trait. People are never content. People are never content. People who have billions of dollars speculate to make more money. If they wouldn't make another business deal in their lives, so for 20 generations, they'd be very, very affluent. But they keep on. They want to earn more and more and more and more. Rulers of countries are always looking to widen their borders. If it's Osha that a person is seeking, so ein adam meis v'chatzi tavasa biyado. Yesh lo mona rotze mosayim. If he has a million, he wants 2 million. If he has a billion, he wants 2 billion. If it's power that a person wants, so he's not content with his sphere of influence. He wants to increase that sphere. If it's covet a person wants, so covet is certainly eil dvarim shein lahem shiur. Certainly eil dvarim shein lahem shiur. A person wants covet, he never gets enough kavod. What's the real pshat? It's irrational. It's irrational. A person has $1 billion. It makes a difference. There's no difference in your lifestyle. Either way, you can afford to take a cab. Once you have $1 billion or $2 billion, either way, you can afford to take a cab. Either way, you don't have to wait for sales. It's irrational, irrational to take your money, speculate, and risk getting wiped out, as countless people did in the past few years. Totally irrational, totally irrational. So what's the source of this natiya, this inclination, never to be content, even when you're risking everything for nothing? The difference between 1 billion and 2 billion is nothing. Nothing. Rosh HaTzaddikim says the Teretz is as follows. The neshama within a person, a chelek elok hamimal, right? All this Sfarim quote what it says, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, that the Torah uses the imagery. It's only imagery, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed a soul into man. So everyone, all the Sfarim quote, and man denafach midilei nafach, that when you exhale, it's coming from within you. It's coming from within you. Man denafach midilei nafach, from within himself. In the mashal, the small h, in the nimshal, with a capital H. So a person has a neshama in him. The neshama is not content with anything finite. The neshama is not content. The neshama can never find menucha, can never find rest with anything finite. The neshama longs to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to come as close as possible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that's its natural place. That's where it belongs. No matter how much gashmius a person has, he still senses incomplete. He's got tennis courts, and he's got swimming pools, and he's got maids, and he's got butlers. But he wants more, because he's not content, so it must be maybe more of the same will give him that contentment that he's looking for. What the person doesn't realize is that the root of that natiya, of that inclination, is that a person was created subconsciously, instinctively, knowing that he, she, wants to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's that desire for infinity, for nitzchius, for eternity, which is why people can never be content with what they have in Olam Hazeh. Whatever they amass in terms of accomplishments in Olam Hazeh, be it osher, be it kavod, be it power, be it all three, people aren't content. The source of that discontent, the source of that restlessness, is that the neshama wants to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the neshama is never going to be satisfied. That's also Mipsori Echzer Loka. Meaning, if you look into a person's emotions, a person's instincts, even the most secular person, unknowingly, his instincts are religious. The most secular person who's looking to amass more and more money, who wants his name up in lights, is really, the reason he's discontent with everything he has is because what he really wants, he wants to come closer to infinity, to eternity. He wants to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another expression of Mipsori Echzer Loka. The Baal Shem Tov says in the Gemara in Brachos, when Yochanan ben Zakkai took sick in his final sickness, so nichnasu talmidav levakra, so they said to him, Rabbeinu Bochenu, Amar lahem, he said to them, Yehi ratzon shetayim mara shamayim aleichem kemara vasav adam. You should fear, your yeras shamayim should be comparable to your yeras vasav adam. So amar lo tamidav, ad kan. Amar lahem ulavai. Alavai, you should achieve this madrega. Teda, kisha adam over avera. When a person, b'chadrei chadarim, with the shades pulled down, is over avera, omer shelo yirani adam. So the simple pshat in the Gemara is that we're constantly afraid of we're constantly mindful of what people will think, what people will say, and we're always looking over our shoulders. So the same way we look over our shoulders at people, so we should really look over our shoulders at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. The simple pshat in the Gemara leaves still leaves some problems unanswered. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't giving him any bracha for Yeras HaRamamus, according to that. He was just giving a bracha for Yeras HaOnesh, for fear of punishment, for fear of... when you're afraid of fellow man, when you're afraid of social humiliation, it's not because you have any Yeras HaRamamus for people. It's more comparable to Yeras HaOnesh. So Rabbi Yochanan still wasn't giving them enough of a bracha. So Baal Shem Tov says the pshat is as follows. He said, Shetemor Shemayim Lelim Kemor Basav Adam. So they taka understood him to say, and you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way you fear man. And they said to him, Adka, that's here you are, you're about to leave us, and that's the extent of your bracha. So he told them, Ulevai, Teidu, but he had to bring a raya that we're afraid of people. Everyone knows we're afraid of people. Everyone knows. They didn't need a raya for that. All they had to do was say, look in the mirror, right? What they have to do is say, Teidu. So Baal Shem Tov says, it's a psychological fact that when a person is doing something that he knows is wrong, he's in the innermost recesses of his castle. And he has armed guards all around. And he has the shutters pulled down tight. He has this irrational fear that someone's watching him. When a person does something wrong, no matter how much security he has to ensure privacy and confidentiality, he has a sense that someone's watching him. He's very jumpy. He's very jumpy. It's a psychological fact. He thinks someone's about to come in. What do you mean someone's about to come in? He's got 100 armed guards around the castle. The shutters are pulled down. No one has X-ray vision. He's very jumpy. He thinks someone's gonna interrupt. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to them, Ulevai, if only you would realize that that sense you have of being watched, that irrational sense you have of being watched, of being discovered, is really your innate sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees you. If only you'd be aware and understand that what you think is Marav Asav Adam, that you think that this irrational fear that grips you, which you try to free yourself from, which you try to dismiss, is not really Marav Asav Adam. Ulevai, you should know, Yiratzim Shetei Marav Shamayim Aleichem, Kav Marav Asav Adam. You should realize that what you misdiagnose as Marav Asav Adam, this irrational fear of being seen and being watched, when you know there's no way you can be seen. There's no way you can be seen. It's totally blacked out. You should know that's really Marav Shamayim. You should realize it. The same way you sense so immediately the Marav Asav Adam of the notion of being watched, you should realize that in truth, that innate, what seems to you irrational sense, really the pshat in that is that a person senses that he's being watched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He senses innately that kol ma'asav v'sefer nechtavim, And the da malam malam imcha ayin vela. This is also mipsari achsa aloka. It's also mipsari achsa aloka. One more example. In his essay of Vikashta Misham, so the Rav talks about this also. I think what he says can be best illustrated as follows. This is very similar to the Ochos Tzadikim. Very similar to the Ochos Tzadikim. People do the craziest things. People do the craziest things. People go skydiving. People jump 100, 200 yards down into subterranean caves. Apparently one of the latest Michigansons is to go hang gliding. Mamish suicidal. What are they doing it for? They're not really sure. They're doing it to get something attracts them. Something attracts them. Something impels them. Crazy. Here you have, again, people that might be affluent. They have everything money can buy. Everything money can buy. From a secular perspective, and they're secular people, they have everything to look for, everything to live for. Any pleasure that money can buy, they have the wherewithal to buy. And they go up to go skydiving. And what happens if the string gets stuck or something? So they tell you, life without risks isn't worth living. What happens with a hang gliding if you the angle is off half a degree and you crash into a tree and you... So they take their chances. What's the pshat? So the pshat there also, similar to what the Ochos Tzadikim said, but here on it has a different outlet. People aren't content with being finite and limited and regulated. People want to have a sense of having no boundaries, no limitations. That's the sense these people have when they're skydiving. That's the thrill these people have when they're jumping 200 yards down into some subterranean cave, when they go hang gliding. But again, it's misdiagnosed. The real pshat, again, is that a person, part of how we were created is the same way we were created with an innate sense for our physical needs. One of the biggest miracles is that a baby knows how to nurse in hospitals, so they give mothers who are expecting the first child, so they teach them how to hold the baby, how to nurse the baby. Mothers don't have as much of an innate sense of how to nurse the child. But the baby comes out, he doesn't come out with a tutor. He doesn't say anywhere that the Malach is busy with Shisha Sidra Mishnah. He doesn't have time for this. The Malach is, and besides, he forgets what the Malach taught him, so the Malach didn't teach him. The baby comes out, and the baby knows. The baby knows how to nurse. The baby instinctively sucks and instinctively nurses. So we're created instinctively to know this baby who doesn't know anything. Baby doesn't know anything. Has an instinctive sense of what he needs to do to address his physical needs. So the emes is that he has the same instinctive sense for his spiritual needs. We're not content with anything finite. We have a sense of being watched. And all these inclinations and midlife crisis and all the discontent will levite tedu that the source of it all is that we have an instinctive sense that we won't have any menuchas hanefesh unless we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All that is within Mibsari Achsa Loka. There are several other things I wanted to comment on in Parakei, but we'll see how much we have time for. Not going in proper sequence. In Bachya, again, describing the chachma, which is evident at every stage in human development, in describing infancy and childhood, he says that v'chein boim alav machlos u'mikrim et tsa'arim. Children get sick. What's more, they're more inclined to that than adults. V'chein boim alav machlos u'mikrim et tsa'arim. That he should be discerning about the world, he shouldn't be foolish about his position in the world, he would become accustomed to it, and then his desires would conquer him. Then he would be like an animal who doesn't comprehend, who doesn't understand. So what did Rabbi Bachya say? That even as children we get sick, that a person shouldn't take good health for granted. If as children we would grow up always feeling that Brios Haguf, that health were a given, so then we would take it for granted. So listen to what Rabbi Bachya is saying. Rabbi Bachya is saying that it's from the Mitovos HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's from the Chasadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we get sick. And that we get sick as children. What does it mean? It means like this. This too is an idea which is recurrent in Rabbeinu Bachya. It goes back to the third of the reasons which he outlined at the beginning of the Sha'ar for why we are ignorant or insensitive to the Chasdei Hashem which surround us. We think that self-sufficiency is the biggest bracha. We think that total independence and total self-sufficiency is the biggest bracha. And Rabbeinu Bachya tells us that that's true, but only to a point. To the point of Al Tatsuchenu, Lo Lidei Matnas Bosa V'Ladom, Lo Lidei Hava Asom. So yeah, so that independence and self-sufficiency is a big bracha. Is a big bracha, one of the biggest brachas. However, when it comes to a person's sense and perception of his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us this sense of self-sufficiency and independence, so that wouldn't be a bracha, but it would be, if anything, closer to a klala, would be a big nisayon. The more fragile a person feels, the more dependent a person feels upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the more aware he'll be of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his lifetime. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, that's the pshat. If a child would feel totally self-sufficient, totally independent, if from the day, miyom amdeinu al dateinu, when you become aware of the world around you, if we would feel totally self-sufficient and totally independent, our task of being mindful of Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid would be all the more difficult. And it's Mechaste Hashem that we have a sense of fragility. And you do. Everyone knows if you have a... have some kind, you get a terrible headache, a pounding headache. In any of the Evoi HaGuf, really debilitating pain. So right away you feel totally helpless. And what's the first thing you say? Oh, Ribono Shel Olam, help me. So that's Mechasdei Hashem, that we have constant reminders of how fragile and how dependent and how we're really not at all self-sufficient. And that's Mamish Mechasdei Hashem. It's not Chas V'Shalom, the opposite, but on the contrary. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only from within, Yipsari Echze Eloka, gives us constant reminders that we should be looking for Him, but from without as well, by giving us constant reminders of our dependence and our fragility, so that too is Mechochmas Hashem and Mechasdei Hashem. Okay, there's more, but we know that next time we discuss Chorus HaVos, we'll continue.